It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch, from the best bets to the sneaky underdogs. And of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
All right, my friends, we are halfway home on a Thursday. Ben and Woods, 97.3, the fan. Hey, look at that. That's Adam Klug. He's the architect of the roundtable. You can join us after the program, after the 4 hours of talking about the Potter. He's going to get one extra hour today.
Will that be on his tombstone one day? Architect of the roundtable.
Roundtable architect. Hey, where's the... I'm Woodsy, that's Paul, that's Ben. Where's the thing that was behind you?
I don't know. The big 97.3, the fan.
Oh, yeah.
Screen. It was gone yesterday during the Annie and Elston program because they were talking about how there was all just pictures of me. There's my cardboard cutout and my Dave Roberts.
Grab that other white sign that's right behind you.
What is that one? Oh, Ben's glory hole.
It's just all me staring at them through the whole show. So we've got plenty of
Ben.
Me all over the place. There's me up there. Yeah, you're spotting me in the gym.
Mm-hmm.
You go a little higher up there. There we go. So we got
it's a lot of Ben in here.
All the Ben, all over the place.
Oh God. Well, they know they're allowed to bring stuff in as well. I mean, this isn't just the Ben and Woods suit. We just happen to bring stuff in to make it look.
Got the Ben Higgins Funko.
There is a lot of Ben.
A lot of Ben in here. You're such an egomaniac,
Ben,
dude.
Diva.
God.
Hey, this is all of us, Ben and Woods' first pitch. Yeah.
We can bring other stuff, though. Yeah, if the end of the show is... Just don't bring, like, Chargers autographed helmets.
And then they mentioned...
We have
then
one that was in here for, like, a year.
And then there's this Miami Dolphins helmet logo thing.
Here in
that's,
Miami.
That's Chris Ella. He's the Miami Dolphins fan of the group.
Okay. So. Well, listen, it's jarring. I look over, and I'm used to seeing that thing, and it's not there anymore. Now the light radiates in from behind you, but... as I mentioned, we are halfway home. We do have a roundtable today. How are the topics looking today?
Topics are good. Speaking of Chris Ello, he's been texting me in some topic ideas.
Oh, good. I like that.
You're more than welcome to do that.
Oh, I didn't know. I didn't know.
Do you have anything you want to contribute? But
I did not
obviously,
know.
We'll be discussing some of the same things we've talked about in the first half of the program, including Matt Waldron and the shortstop position. But it should be a good roundtable today. I think we got the full house. Jesse even thought about coming in and joining us. I never got the final RSVP, though.
So he doesn't have to.
It would be a surprise if he did show up. By the way, I do want to say that RJ called back during the break and was vehement that it wasn't an F-bomb that he dropped on the air. Now, the chat has its differing opinions. Some say they thought they heard the F. Others say they've rewound the tape and they're just not sure. I thought I heard an S. RJ says he would never, never curse on the air.
Thank you, RJ.
He wanted to make that very clear. So his point of view has been at least considered, and we had to be careful, though. Either.
Yeah, man, like, you know, sucking up. I mean, Matt Waldron is out there sucking up. Sounds a lot like something else. But RJ did call in. He apologized and said, no harm, no foul. And we said, no harm, no foul. We believe you, but we had to be careful. It's kind of like the thing that I say.
I mean, I'm listening back to it. It really does sound.
What do I say? What do I call Coors Field, Paulie? The House of Horrors.
House of Horrors.
And so now I have to say the House of Horrors, because I usually say the House of Horrors, because that's how I say it.
Yes. But we're not going to get in trouble on the radio.
No.
Even if you did.
Say that.
Yes.
But that would be very disrespectful. And I've been at Coors Field as many years ago, and I don't recall anything like that happening, okay? It's a house of horrors for the San Diego Padres. And hey, listen, as rough as last night was, I do sleep well at night knowing We don't have to play there again this season. We don't have to play that team again this season. That brings me a lot of joy in my life.
Maybe next week on our private member chat, we can take the audio and replay it as many times as we want. Because
I'm going to take the guy's
no restrictions.
I'm going to take him. I'm going to take him at his word.
I will too,
believe RJ.
But I don't even want to like replay the audio.
Yeah, I don't.
It's dangerous.
It's way dangerous.
We just have to beep it out either way. So there's no point.
It won't do anything for us. But no, I'm looking forward to the roundtable. Now, one thing is interesting. So today is when my wife and I go to marriage counseling. I missed the no hitter. The end of the no hitter, and then what had happened the last time I was there? Like a walk off. Oh yeah, when they were down and they walked
the
it
comeback,
up.
Yeah.
Today I'm good. But it's good luck. Every time I've gone, they've had some miraculous win. So I'm
hopefully
looking forward to that.
Still
too.
Have the luck will continue into the night game, even though you won't be missing any of the action.
You want to talk about a day? You get the 4-hour radio program into the roundtable, into the marriage counseling,
which I'm sure is emotionally taxing.
It is. It's tough. Yeah. And then you get into tonight. We have back to school night at the school. So for Hannah and I, so we have to go. Oh, okay. Oh, yeah.
You're racing through it to try to get back for the Padres.
Yeah,
game,
there's two shifts you can go to. You can you're go to the 5 or like the 7.
I'm sure you're going to the 5.
We're going to the 5, and we will be at the 5 today. And oh, okay, those are the scissors. And oh, yeah, construction paper there. Oh, the little cubby. Okay, right on. You do it. Happy to do it. Now, we know the teacher. We know Bo's teacher. Hannah went to high school with her, so that's good. And, yeah, you go check out the class and see how it all goes. Exciting times.
It's always weird to think of when you were a kid. Your teachers used to be, like, students themselves and went to high school.
Yeah.
They all were just...
They were adults.
Just adults.
They're just
and they
adults.
Probably were born that way as teachers.
Yeah, it's... we'd probably shudder to think what some of the teachers are up to when they're not at school. I mean, really, like, based on the teachers I've known in my life. Now, I love teachers. I think you guys do a great job, but, yeah, so we'll
They
do...
usually like to let loose and have fun, though, when they're not at school
100%. Dominic says, throw in a dentist appointment for a full day. I did that yesterday. The day before yesterday. So it's been a week, and I thought, you know, with the kids going back to school, this is going to be great. I'm going to have so much freedom. I've been running ragged. I'm cashed right now. So,
but the first couple of days, then you've got to take care of everything that you've
put
neglected.
Off. Yes.
While the kids were during the summer, but eventually once you kind of clear the backlog.
Ooh, Brandon makes a good point. Should I go in tonight and say, "Hey, I pay your salary." Ooh. To the teacher? That'd be good.
Which
parent-teacher night?
Taxes, you do. As much as the Little Leaguers pay her and judge's salary.
He says, that's one profession I don't mind paying their salary for. I couldn't agree more.
But the dentist, when you're in the chair, do you I pay your salary.
He's like, yeah. No.
Oh, really?
About to torture you. Yeah. You don't pop off to your dentist. You got some huge, huge colonies.
I'm actually seeing something on molar number 6 back there. Let me just drill right in there.
God, man. My tooth is, my crown they put in, it just hurts.
I never thought about that. Dentists must get the most polite people all the time.
All the time.
Yeah.
You can't be an a-hole to a dentist.
You
can
say,
move.
You're
so
handsome.
Yeah. Oh, I have the nicest dentist. Yeah, everyone does, because we would never say otherwise and risk the dentist hearing about it.
That's the best tasting fluoride I've ever had.
You know, it's funny, too, because,
thank you.
Because again, you're talking about, like, we always talk about athletes. You know, oh, man, he was 0-for-4 yesterday, had a crap day, whatever, booted a ball.
They were about to go in with a drill into your mouth, though. You would say nice things about the athletes.
But the thing is, like, a dentist having a bad day is not good. An airline pilot having a bad day is not good for you. It's just not. And they're allowed to have them, certainly. But a dentist with a bad day with an axe to grind. I told you guys once this story, but I used to go get, you know what body work is?
Body work.
Yeah.
Like going to the gym?
No.
Okay.
It's after the gym when I was exercising a lot more than I do now. My trainer said, "Hey, you got to go see my dude." And he will.
They put you on a machine and stretch you out?
They lay you down and it's like, "Oh, cool. I'm going in for a massage." Oh, no. It's a massage that I almost threw up after because it's so intense. They break up all the fascia in your body and he takes his elbow and he grinds it into your hamstrings.
It's so torture.
It's torture.
Torture.
It's an hour, and you're pouring sweat, but you need it to, like, recover. And trust me, Manny's on that table getting it every day. All those guys are on that table. My guy, though, the one day I went in and I laid down on the table, he starts doing me, and then he starts muttering under his breath, stupid be. How could she do that to me? Like, he had gone through a breakup. His girl cheated on him. He has his foot on the wall as he's grinding into my glutes. And I'm like, oh, you're having
you're
a
like
bad day.
You're his rage
room. I'm his rage room, dude, as I'm laying there. And it's, I can't even mock what he was saying. But you can imagine, like, the dirtiest names you can call somebody as he's on my back with his elbows and using the wall as leverage to grind down more into my glutes and my hamstrings. I left there. I was almost in tears, and I got outside. I had to sit in my car for like 30 minutes until my head got right. It was so painful.
I just can't believe that makes you feel better in any way afterwards.
It does.
It does.
Oh, dude, it does.
Like, after 4 days of recovery, you feel better?
No, you have to like break up all the fascia.
I've never had any fascia broken up in my body.
You would not make it. You wouldn't make it 3 minutes.
I know. That's why I don't do it.
You wouldn't make it 1 minute.
I haven't had that type of massage, I guess, but I've had
lactic acid. That's it. It breaks up all the lactic.
I've had shoulder work done where they're like just breaking all that up and just in one spot, not the whole body.
Yep.
And yeah, it hurts like hell.
And you're sweating.
For like 5 minutes. Oh. But ultimately, once that initial pain goes away,
it's good.
You feel so.
You really do.
10 times better than you did before.
I can do about 5 minutes with the massage gun when
they
do the.
It's not that.
That's about
that's,
it.
This,
yeah.
This makes the massage gun look like I'm giving you a foot massage. Really. I mean, it's. And I'm like, what is this? Like $100? I got to go in and do this. It was torture every single time. This guy was psychotic too. And you saw black marks on the wall because he leaned in his hands. He could like break a watermelon in half with his hands. He had the strongest hands ever.
Now, can we have him bring a table in studio and we can see how long
Ben can
last?
I think he's in prison. I really think he's like in jail. If I'm not mistaken, I could be wrong, but he was like an edgy dude.
Diane said this is like Thai massage. I've heard that
no,
is the
I had
that's
Thai
their
massage.
Style though.
It is. They walk on your back and they like hold on to things on the like.
Yeah.
This makes Thai massage look like a trip to the zoo. This was the most painful, gnarly thing.
Trips to the zoo can be pretty painful too. Have you ever walked to the zoo up and down those hills?
And think about it too. I'm not a super muscular guy, so it felt like he was rubbing the actual bone. Like, he would get so deep that I'm like, you're bone on bone here, man. It was, Benny, it was so painful. I bet you, I'd give you $500 if you could make it 30 minutes. There's no way. It hurts so bad. You don't like to be rubbed and massaged hard.
True.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
It is not pleasurable. It really is not, dude. It was literally like his elbow bone was grinding into my quad. I'm like, you're touching my femur. Like, you're into my femur right now because I don't have a lot of muscle.
I don't even like it. Like, when I use my massage gun, like, every once in a while, like, especially like on the back, where it starts bouncing a little too high. You're like, ow! Okay, that doesn't feel good.
You're the kind of person who tries a lot of these
things. I try a lot of that stuff.
Have you ever done cupping? Elisa says that doesn't hurt.
It
looks like
hurt.
It should.
It doesn't hurt. At all.
It leaves these big marks.
It looks gnarly. I had it done at fantasy camp last year.
You see all the dudes in the clubhouse when you go in. I saw Robert Suarez had marks all over his back. They believe in that. So cupping would be funny for you. It doesn't hurt, though. That doesn't
I didn't feel a thing. I didn't even know he was doing it until about halfway through. Yeah. And then I looked in the mirror. Hello.
Oh, all right.
Okay.
Looks like you get dotted in the back a bunch. You're all spotted. Yeah. I've done that. I didn't see a lot of benefit from it myself, but again, I'm not some premier athlete either. So, but yeah, listen, it all goes back to everyone's allowed to have a bad day. Look, Benny, there it is.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Paulie got cupped at fantasy.
How long does that last?
A few days?
Like a week.
A week?
Really?
A half, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
Oh, God, it hurt. Anyway, I digress.
All right, we've got Eno Saris, some smart baseball coming up later this hour. I mentioned it earlier. Had an interesting piece this week about different mound heights. Like, some ballparks are known for just having a really high mound. Others, like Petco Park, kind of on the low side. And does that affect, like, overall pitching numbers at the ballpark?
Sure. I want to ask him about Mount Waldron, too, and what he's seeing out of Mount Waldron.
I agree. Yeah. We'll get to all of that coming up. First, a check of traffic, then back with more. Bennett Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket. Follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah. 8:21 Thursday morning. Got Eno Saris at the bottom of the hour, our smart baseball segment. I did. I noticed a story this morning, and I wanted to bring it up because Woods, you and I are very much at kind of an inflection point in our lives. We're getting older, and I find more often every single like day, week, month, that things that 20 and 30 year olds believe feel a little bit scary to me now. And I always didn't want to be that person that was afraid of change. Like, better ideas come along all along. We should always be open to better ideas, no matter how old we get. Never get so set in your ways that you can't adapt.
We should be embracing Hawk Tua and Young
Maybe.
Gravy.
I don't know. This one had to do with sports, though. I saw this morning that the NWSL has come out with a new collective bargaining agreement, and they're no longer going to have a draft. They are no longer going to be able to trade players without their permission. It simply is free agency. Like, players want the right to play where they want to, like the rest of us in jobs in the world. No one here can say, hey, we've just traded you to Cincinnati. Or when we start in radio, they go, yeah, you've been drafted by Cleveland, so you're gonna have to work there for 6 years before you go anywhere else.
True.
Doesn't happen in any other industry, but it happens in sports.
Well,
and they've decided they don't want to do that anymore. They just want to be able to play where they're hired and get paid for it. And if they want to stay there, great.
So how do you get players if there's no draft?
You sign them. As free agents, they're out of college, whatever, and like, hey, you want to play for our team? Here's the contract we will offer you. They have to compete against other teams for that contract.
So now, it's like you're an attorney and you graduate.
Exactly.
Think of the firm, Mitchell McDear, making the rounds, going to all the different places, and then he needs to be really wooed to sign that contract with Bendini, Lambert, and Locke in Memphis. They really threw the bank.
Now there's still, I think, you know, salary caps and stuff, so they can't just simply offer unlimited funds for. But the best players are going to get better offers, you know, and longer contracts and deals. And essentially, they could be doing this in baseball and football and basketball, but they don't want to. Owners don't want to give up the draft. They like controlling players. They like to be able to trade their players when they need new players. It's a good system that works well for them.
Memphis? It's the wrong show, but it's fine. It doesn't still work.
And I have this thing going like, this is too revolutionary. You can't just get rid of the draft and trades and still run a sports league. That's not how sports works. You need to be able to trade players. You need to be able to have a draft.
So when does this?
But you don't.
When does this start?
It's new. I assume soon. They've agreed on it. So
everybody from here on out.
I think we've had our last NWSL draft. So the NWSL is, of course, the Wave. They won. Landon Donovan won his debut this week, 2-0. Congratulations to Landon. But yeah, they're not going to be any more drafts or anything going forward. The details are still coming out, but. Can you imagine if they just in the NFL all of a sudden? No more draft.
It's the European football model, as everyone is mentioning in the chat.
Which also has its drawbacks. I mean, they sign kids that are like four. You know, put them in their training program and control their rights for a decade or whatever. But yeah, it's, you know, sometimes there are better ways. And I want to stay open-minded to the fact that there could be better ways of doing things. But boy, that would be a huge change for our top professional sports if they ever decided no more draft, no more, you know, years of control before free agency, no more trades, no more trade deadline. I mean if they want to go, sure, you can all say, hey, you know, we've agreed to trade relief pitchers to this other team, but we have to ask them first because he may not want to move to Minnesota.
Well,
other guy might not want to move to San Diego.
No trade clauses and things like that, but those have to be earned for many,
negotiated.
Many years. Yeah,
now they don't.
Interesting. That's interesting. Yeah, I'm down to try that. Certainly, I don't know. Does it work in other sports? I mean, who is coming out of college and But I mean, I guess it kind of works like that for recruits going to college, right? I mean, a lot of it now is you go to where you get the highest offer or the best chance to play or whatever. And it, there's a bit of free agency kind of going on in college football right now. And we haven't really seen the, I mean, it's funny, before we had all these rules, we had very dominant teams, very, very dominant teams, same three or four teams in the top four seemingly every year. So is this going to change it all that much? I don't know. But it does give professional athletes the opportunity to say, no, I don't want to go play in Tacoma, or I would rather play here, and I would maybe take less money even to play in a place I want to play.
Alan in the chat says, the draft is anti-worker. Doesn't make sports fair. If that was the case, terrible teams wouldn't be terrible forever. Yeah, I mean, theoretically the draft, because the worst teams get the first pick, are a way to even out and level the playing field. But does it really work that way anymore?
Yeah, I mean, if the Chiefs got the first pick in the draft because they won the Super Bowl, would that be better?
Some say yes. Some say reward teams that are well-run by giving them better draft picks. Stop rewarding the bad teams. And there have been too many cases where bad owners who don't want to invest in their product are then rewarded by getting good young players in the draft because their records were so bad, they get to pick first, and then they get superstar players, and they're being rewarded for mismanagement and not investing in their team or their players or their fans. And is that really the best way to go about running a business, to reward the worst business owners for their worst business practices?
Does John Fisher and the Oakland A's deserve, or the Sacramento A's? Or
any
Reno
draft
A's,
picks at all? Whatever.
They're going to get like a top three draft pick next year?
Yeah.
The White Sox, yeah.
The Rockies?
Definitely should get the number one pick because they're so bad. No, they probably
Rockies.
Be punished.
The Rockies are the best team in baseball.
Yeah, they really are. From my perspective, they are the
from
best.
From what I've seen.
They're the best team I've ever seen.
So the 27 Yankees and the 24 Rockies.
It's a good topic. I mean, it's a good thing to debate. You know, want to see how it... You're still going to have the haves and the have-nots. I mean, they have that in European football.
Of course.
Welsh Friars said, yeah, they do this in Europe, and it's the same six teams that are in it every year. They have the most money. So is that really the best way to do it? I don't know. I mean, who's got the most money in the NWSL to go out and do it?
Ultimately, though, once one league is going to do it, it may take many years, but I would imagine that if NWSL players like this and it works well for them, at some point, baseball players and football players and basketball players are going to want the same thing. And they're going to go, works for them. Why can't we just do it? Just free agency for all. No more trades. We work where we want to work. That's our prerogative. As you know, that's our right as workers to get to choose, you know, where we want to try to be employed. And you can't just send us wherever you want to send us.
And continue to do that throughout the course of my career. You know, trade me. It's certainly interesting. And, you know, you can see, obviously, pros and cons to both of it. But Curtis says the Waves owners have deep pockets. Yeah, I mean, could be potentially good for our NWSL team here.
Yeah, I think they've been fairly well run. Obviously, they've had some off the field headlines this year, and it's been a struggling season, but, you know, Landon Donovan, that was a good move to bring him in,
so far, as an interim
coach to stabilize, get their first win. They're back Saturday night, Landon, his first home game at Snapdragon Stadium as they get back to the regular season against Angel City. But a little NWSL news this morning. Ultimately will have an impact on whatever your favorite professional sport is.
So it's done. It's been approved. Cool.
It's moving forward. All right, Eno's going to join us. We will do Smart Baseball. We'll talk about Matt Waldron and more with Eno Saris from The Athletic coming up next on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. This hour, 97.3 The Fan is brought to you by Floor and Decor. Unbeatable prices, unmatched in-stock selection. Floor and Decor has more styles of laminate, vinyl, tile, wood, and stone for anyone looking for the right look at the right price. Your next beautiful space is at Floor and Decor. Floor and Decor, unbeatable prices, unmatched in-stock selection. I do like saying Floor and Decor for some reason.
I know you do.
All right, I like saying Eno Saris as well. We got some Smart Baseball coming up right after a check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fan.
It's time for the super polished, yet to be named Smart Baseball Weekly segment with Eno Harris. Saris, son of a bitch. brought to you by 7 Mile Casino, just 7 minutes from the ballpark by the Bay in Chula Vista. Here's Eno Saris with Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan.
Good morning to you, Eno. We are getting close here. September is coming up. The pennant races are heating up, and the Padres are right in the thick of it. And that just makes everybody a little more worried when we see a game like yesterday.
Sky's falling.
Yeah, I can get it. But, you know, the knuckleball in Coors, and that's two starts ago, is disadvantaged. It doesn't get to move as much because the air is so thin. And then, you know, who knows if there's a, you know, that sort of set him off. There have been Coors hangovers for other pitches and hitters, and so that's part of it. But I also just think that Waldron should be throwing that knuckler more like 50, 60% of the time. He was throwing it more when he was more successful, and I would especially love it if he threw it, you know, 79, 80, and threw it, you know, 50, 60% of the time. I think it's obviously his best pitch, and the others should be more surprise pitches.
Why deviate? You know, why deviate? We talked a little bit about the strategy yesterday. And it's funny, though, you know, because he's been struggling in the early innings, the first inning especially, and went out yesterday and felt like he was kind of holding the knuckler in reserve, but had actually a clean first and second inning. So, yeah, I don't know what it is, but, you know, I had a guy DM me and ask me, well, are they just clued in on the knuckleball now? Have they watched so much video? I said, you can't watch video on a knuckleball. He doesn't have any idea where it's going. No idea whatsoever.
Yeah, the funny thing is that the knuckleball on any one pitch will move most of the time like a regular pitch. Like if you didn't know it was a knuckleball and just watched it, you might be like, oh, that was a curveball.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, that was a changeup. But it's like a random number generate. The you don't know what pitch it's going to be when you throw it, and that's why it's so hard for hitters, because it'll take any sort of movement. You can't anticipate it at all. And I'm looking at something like it's called pitch type values. It just adds up how good a pitch is, and it's, you know, his knuckler is very clearly his best pitch, and even over the last three starts, it's been his best pitch. I would be ramping that percentage up. But yeah, he threw it 24% of the time against Minnesota. That's
it was way down.
Not enough. Yeah,
but that eliminates the human factor here, which is obviously statistically it's his most effective pitch. He should be using it more often. But it also is a pitch that requires talking to Matt and hearing him say it, an immense amount of feel. And you get in the bullpen and you're not feeling it, I can imagine, because if you start adding a few RPMs to that knuckleball, it becomes a horrible pitch, just a few tumbles, and then it doesn't move at all, and then you're just throwing up an 80-mile-an-hour straight ball to Major League Baseball hitters. So you can probably see why psychologically a knuckleball pitcher who doesn't think he's throwing a good knuckleball would want to get away from that thing as fast as possible.
Yeah, no, and he actually has, what seem like more credible major league pitches than, R.A. Dickey threw 86 on the fastball, and Tim Wakefield, I don't even know if he threw 86 on the fastball. So, I can see why he'd be tempted to go away from it. But, I think the other part is your pitches are only as good as how often you can get them in the zone. So, you know what I mean? Like if he's throwing a knuckleball and it's nasty, but it's just always in the dirt.
Yeah.
And he can't put it in the zone, then, they're just going to, they're not even going to like sit knuckleball or whatever. They're just not going to swing until they have to, and that can get them in trouble too. So I get it. It's a dark art.
It is.
They're a special breed. And what's fun about it too is when I talked to Dickey and Wakefield about this, I realized that they all talk to each other,
Yeah.
And it's kind of like a little club that Waldron's now in. So hopefully, one of them, maybe you can reach out to Dickey or somebody and get some advice on what to do to get out of this funk.
Yeah, we had last couple games I was at down on the field. I was talking to Ruben Niebla, and then Tom Candiotti walked up, and Ruben's like, "See you later, Woodsy. I'm going to talk to Tom Candiotti about this knuckleball." And I was like, "All right, see you later. Whatever helps the club." Ben and I both really enjoyed your most recent piece about mound heights in Major League Baseball. And I didn't realize Major League Baseball, much like adult league, you don't really know what you're going to get when you get out there. Like, this is the mound today. They were talking about some of them that are like mountains. You know?
And then I assume, well, Petco Park must have one of the tall ones because it's not a good hitter's park, but that wasn't the case, either.
Yeah.
It's fascinating.
Yeah, so I've been trying to figure out, there are some park effects for Stuff Plus. And so my idea, Stuff Plus is like just the shape of the pitches. How good are they? But, we know, for example, Coors, like it changes the shape of pitches, right? So in this latest update of Stuff Plus, we adjusted for altitude, right? But that doesn't fix everything. So the biggest home away factors for Stuff Plus is Tampa Bay. And you're like, man, that's a dome? Like, what's going on? Is that sea level? Like, what's going on there? And, the newest thing that I've discovered is that salt in the air actually helps movement. So San Diego is fourth. In sort of stuff is better in San Diego. Yu Darvish told me he started throwing his sinker in San Diego because it moved more. And so San Diego has salt in the air. Now, another factor might be the difference in mounds. And what we found is Houston and Philly has the fifth best home splits for park factors for stuff. Philly and Houston, who has second, they have mounds where, and it's hard to say this correctly because we can't measure the mound. What we can measure is the release point of the pitcher. And if you match a pitcher's release point in each park, you could start to say, oh, that's weird. The same pitcher in these different parks throws the ball an inch higher in Houston and Philly.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying? You're like, oh, the mound is taller. But then, I talk to grounds crew people and they're like, no. You talk to pitchers, they're like, oh, yeah. Tampa's super tall and Boston's like you feel like you're in the basement, So it's like, the pitchers, like, they feel it. You talk to grounds crew and they're like, no. MLB comes and they measure this stuff and they look at it, and they care about it. But I would say this: release point is they don't release from the top of the mound, right?
Right.
Like no pitcher does that. They go down the mound. So if there's an inch difference, not at the top of the mound, is baseball capturing that? Like, do they have like protractors out there?
Right.
Do they have the slope? You know what I mean?
The slope measurement.
The slope of the mound.
Yeah.
Yeah, they have the slope on the mound, or do they just say this is as tall as we say you should have the mound, and it's as big a mound, and so probably the slope is the same, but maybe the slope is done a little different in each mound. And an inch difference doesn't sound like a lot, but it does make a difference for how the pitch moves and how the pitch looks when it goes to the plate. I'm always fascinated by park factors. One of the coolest things about baseball is that each of these parks are so different and it affects the game so much.
So much.
I think, yes, a football might fly further in thinner air. You might get some Denver in basketball apparently has a really strong home field advantage because people are gassed when they're trying to run up and down the court in Denver. But this is like really intricate. You're talking like pitches moving differently, the mound being different, the outfield walls are different, the ivy. I love talking about stuff like this because it's so baseball.
Well, asking, you have to ask the artists, the ones that are out there doing the art, and those are the pitchers. And I mean, the fact that so many people say, oh yeah, Tampa Bay has the best mound bar none, and then you see the kind of pitchers that Tampa Bay has churned out over the last decade plus, and you're like, all right, tends to make sense. I did love, though, what James Paxton said when he said, if you think it's a problem, it's a problem. But if you don't think it's a problem, it's not a problem. It's funny, man. I've heard stories about the way Tony Gwynn picked out his bats and he could detect a flaw, with the naked eye or just the way it sounded. Phil Mickelson and his golf ball, his wedges. We've talked to the guys at Callaway that have said, you want to be in the torture chamber, build a wedge for Phil Mickelson. You know what I mean? Like, he will pick one up and go, it's an eighth of a
And it's just it's a micron off here. I can just feel it.
It's like maddening. And Paxton also said,
Phil, this is perfect.
This is just what you wanted.
Just built it.
Yeah, but the guys at Callaway, they were telling us that story. And then you hear James Paxton go, it's ingrained in us. If it doesn't feel right, it's not going to be right.
And it's kind of ironic that he went to Boston, because he was one of the many people. Boston was rated the worst mound in that piece that I did. I think it was last year, but I was bringing it up because we got some new measurements, and he was saying Boston was voted the worst. And when I started picking their brains on why it was the worst, they started saying things that didn't have anything to do with the mound. I was like, Oh, that's weird. So they talked about the backstop being really close to the catcher, right? So if you're on the mound and the backstop is really close to the back of the catcher, the fans are right there. So now you're like, you're looking at the catcher and the fans feel like they're on top of you, you know, that way. And then you look over your shoulder and the green monster is just laughing over the back of your shoulder. And you're just like, this is the smallest park of all time.
You're done
and
for.
All of the fans are like in my jersey with me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so you're not like, you go to Oakland, right? And no matter what, there might be salt in the air and the mound might be beautiful. Everyone said, oh yeah, I love Oakland. Well, do you love Oakland or do you love all that foul ground and all the fans are so far away and the ball, you know, your third baseman can go run for a mile and still catch the foul ball, you know? So, there's a lot of sort of feel is real stuff going on.
Where, I'm thinking of the Gene Hackman scene in Hoosiers with the tape measure. You know, hey, same height on the basket, yeah. Same length of the court. Yeah. It may be different everywhere else, but right here, it's exactly the same.
Yeah.
Eno Saris is with us from The Athletic. Eno, I've got a... This is just kind of an opinion-y question for you, but there are a number of players who are either just coming back or should be coming back soon, like Justin Verlander pitched yesterday. Yamamoto is on the rehab. He had a couple of innings facing batters. Obviously, Fernando Tatis Jr. could be back soon for the Padres. Who do you think is going to have the biggest impact now, returning player on the pennant race in the playoffs coming up?
Well, I mean... It is funny because baseball is a game of 26 or 40 in terms of men, you know. It's, we fixate on the stars, and yet, you know, it matters so much, like, how the full roster goes. And so, I think, you know, all these guys are meaningful, but it's hard to say, like, one is going to change things. I'm a little bit focused on the NL West, though. There's an interesting thing going on here with the NL West where – all of the wild cards may come out of the NL West. Yep. There's a chance of that happening. It would be pretty funny, I think, if that happened. And so Yamamoto means so much to the Dodgers just because their pitching staff is just dropping like flies. Glasnow, Hurt, River Ryan comes up, looks good. Tommy John, you know. Bobby Miller, I think, looks hurt to my eye. So, you know, they are kind of scrabbling and they need somebody at the top of that rotation. So I think in terms of maybe one, that's the biggest deal. But in terms of vibes and also like momentum and things that I don't normally talk about, like the Padres are just nipping at those Dodgers' heels and like they're right there. And I just think, you know, I think that the Padres, they've been making contact all year, but when they really started going well, they were making contact and slugging. And I think that was the difference in their hottest time of the year. Tatis comes back and makes it more of a slugging team. And I think just a really good lineup where, you know, they can go toe-to-toe. And they, you know, they're getting back. They got Mac Musgrove and then Yu's still throwing. So, like, you know, they have their arms coming back too. But Tatis, everyday player, you know, that could be the answer too.
Quickly before we let you go, you know, just got a couple minutes left. Just your thoughts on Joey Votto's retirement.
I think he's a Hall of Famer in terms of play on the field, but also just a joy to cover. One of the most cerebral guys about the game, one of the most interesting guys to talk to, and just a funny dude that was you know, basically a troll, you know, like he had this like really funny sense of humor where he would just be playing around with people. Like his appearances with Chris Russo are amazing. If you ever seen him in the Mountie hat, like a lot of the stuff that, you know, has nothing to do with how he played in the game also made him such a great dude. And he let us in a little bit into like, you know, what his mindset was and what his life was like. And, he obviously struggled through some times in Cincinnati where they weren't good. But just a perennial, all-star type player, just a really, really good player that I think is a Hall of Famer. If you look at the list of people who've had 400 OBPs in a season, he's done it 7 times. The list above him who've done it more times, they're all Hall of Famers. And it's all like Musial and all the greats and Hornsby. And so, I know that, you know, people tend towards like big things like homers and RBIs and stuff. And maybe he doesn't fully stack up in some of those departments. But in terms of slash line, in terms of what he did when he stepped to the plate, he's a Hall of Famer.
Joey Votto came on our show late in 2022 and told a story about former teammate Brandon Drury that was 100% false.
Yes, and got us. He got us in trouble. He got us in trouble. Drury was pissed at us. So, yeah.
So he's a troll, dude.
He's a troll.
Yep. Yeah, we got firsthand experience of
like,
that.
We went down to the ballpark like within a week after the interview, and Drew was like just like mean mugging us.
He was giving us the Manson lamps, dude.
We had to like ask somebody else, and they're like, oh yeah, he was not happy with that interview. And we're like, what? It was a great story.
Great story, yeah.
That's not true, though. Never happened. So. Yeah. Thanks, Joey.
Got us.
Thanks, Joey. Nice. Eno, thank you so much. Appreciate it. We'll talk to you again next Thursday.
All right, thanks.
Thank you, buddy.
Smart Baseball with Eno Saris, brought to you by 7 Mile Casino. That's Joey. 920 career OPS. That blew my mind.
Stupid, dude.
I mean, on base percentage. The guy could get on base. Yep. As good as anyone in baseball.
Why do we like him?
Gets on base.
He gets on base.
He gets on base.
Yep.
When he points to you. That's
what I said. Yep. Gets on base. Got it. Thank you, Billy Bean. All right, we will come back. We got a final hour of Ben and Woods coming up, including some headlines with Paulie on the Rondle Report. We get our Throwback Thursday look backs, and we got a bet series.
I will have one of those funny clips that Eno just mentioned about Joey Votto.
Oh, excellent. All coming up in the final hour of Ben and Woods. Don't go away. More on the way next on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.